Hello, everybody. My name is Patricia Corey. I'm the author of The Syrian Revelations, which some of you may be familiar with. And this is the first airing of my new radio talk show, Beyond the Matrix, for people who dare to think outside the box of convention. So welcome. I intend to take this program way past the outskirts of common belief systems. So we'll be talking about pretty far out stuff. But then you would know that if you've already read my books and as a listener to bbsradio.com. In fact, I'd like to thank bbsradio.com for providing the platform for people like me who are bringing forth the wisdom, the messages, and the information that humankind needs now, when we certainly can't be getting it from the media, the controlled media, and when we have such a need to raise the vibration on the planet. We'll be talking to some of the real experts on crop circles, extraterrestrials, extra-dimensional consciousness, the nature of the universe, secrets of the pyramids, Atlantis, and its demise in our search for the truth. So mark your calendars. Please be sure to tell your friends that this is the spot, 12 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, on www.bbsradio.com. My first guests on the program tonight are Ron and Linda Martinez from Oregon, who have sent me the most amazing photo, which they took in Cancun. And before we get speaking to them, you can see this on their site at www.angelonthewater.com. But tonight's program is about a phenomenon that many of us are starting to experience. Spirits, orbs, and entities that are appearing in our photographs, especially at sacred sites. And I welcome you, Ron and Linda. Welcome to the show. Let's talk about what you've experienced.
Okay, nice to be here. Thank you, Pat.
Thank you. Let's start by telling our listeners about this amazing photo and how it came to be.
Well, we were on vacation in Cancun, Mexico, back in April 2005. And we took a tourist trip out to a small village called the Xcaray, or I'm not sure how it's pronounced, but anyway, it's on the south tip of Mexico on the Yucatan Peninsula, and we took a snorkeling trip down a cenote and rented some snorkel gear and bought an underwater camera and just took some typical vacationer-type photographs of each other. And we didn't see anything at the time, but ultimately when we got back home from our vacation, took our camera down and dropped it off at Walmart and got our pictures back, and lo and behold, there was this incredible photograph about halfway through our roll of film.
And this, so you were talking about 35 millimeter film, not digital, is that right?
That is correct. It was a Fuji disposable underwater camera, 35 millimeter, with 27 exposures. And so we do have negatives as well. So it's not.
Yeah, I remember you said that you have them locked in the safe, is that right?
Yeah, because, you know, it didn't take us very long to see it. To realize that we knew that it was very important and very just truly spectacular, and we just more for protection of the image itself from damage or from whatever might happen, because we do feel that it's just incredibly spectacular, and we're not quite sure exactly what it is yet, but we just want to be very careful with it until we find
out. Okay, well, just to tell listeners about this photo. This is the most incredible photo of an angelic being, basically looking like walking on the water. Although there's a lot of background image and things going on in the background that I'm really going to see to investigate and find out if I can bring forward additional information. But this perfected angelic being is something really remarkable.
Absolutely, and from the day that we first saw it until now, my wife and I, Linda, have spent hundreds, if not thousands, of hours looking for similar photographs, either in old books or on the internet, and, you know, searched for spirits, ghosts, angels, and it's really, it's hard to find anything that comes close to this with regard to the shape, because it's obviously human-like in form. And what's really peculiar that we found is that it's very prominent skin tone in the head and in the arms. You can see some real dark brown skin tone. And I just have never been able to find anything else like that that resembles a human-like figure with skin tone.
Yeah, we all have preconceived notions that angelic beings must be, by nature of their being, some kind of blonde, blue-eyed fairy stereotype. So this is something important that this has come out, as to the coloration of the being that's standing there, hovering over the water.
Yeah, and you know, when we talk to people and show it to them, their first reaction when we ask, "What do you think it is? What's your take on it?" Kind of looks like, and most people say, an angel. And so that's why we named it. We knew that the world wanted to see this image, and we had to name it something to put it on the website. So we named it Angel on the Water, because it kind of looks like an angel, and it's definitely its feet are right about where the waterline is. So that doesn't necessarily mean that we think it's an angel, but we do think it is something of the supernatural realm.
What do you think it is?
Well, you know, based on its geographic location, you know, where it was captured in Cancun, Mexico, we are starting to lean towards perhaps a Mayan spirit from centuries, maybe thousands of years ago. Due to the fact that it does have dark skin tone, and there's a lot of Mayan history in the region where this image was captured. And I believe that where this happened was a place, like I said earlier, on the Escheray. And legends say hundreds of years ago, the small cove was a seaport of great importance called Pole, and it's and it was a ceremonial site.
Mm, well, you're speaking my language now, because I'm just back from bringing a group to the Yucatan for a spiritual journey. And we were introduced, we saw such a weakening of the veils when we were doing rituals in the sacred sites, and all kinds of phenomenon. And I also have quite a number of things that have come through on photographs. We were able to see triangulation of light beams and actually craft coming in. They looked like spacecraft coming right down from the images of the pyramid into the front scene at Palenque. So I think for sure what we're looking at now is that in some way or another we're beginning to see the veils between the dimensions disintegrate.
Yeah, and I've always been a bit skeptic growing up. You know, I've always been curious about UFO photographs, Yeti, Bigfoot, these things that are always just very grainy. And I remember asking you about a week ago, why are they always grainy? And you said, because they're the fourth dimension.
Right.
Well, since it showed up on my camera, I am no longer skeptical. I am convinced that there is a fourth dimension. I think this amazing image is really proof of that.
Yeah, I think that it's important to tell people that, you know, we're used to looking in a 3D context. We are always looking at borders or outlines, because we relate to things by their outline. And so when we get these grainy pictures which are diffused or hazy, we're somehow transcending the third dimension, and the beings are coming in at another dimension, fourth or even higher. I don't really know about that. But I know this is one amazing photograph, and I celebrate the fact that you are able now to get past your skepticism, because you've had the personal experience.
Yeah. Well, we started out putting it out on the internet just, you know, just to see and observe how people would react to it. And it didn't take me very long to know that the skeptics were not going to go away, nor would they cave in, because there's always a scientific explanation for photographs and other things of this nature. However, there was one skeptic who was a photo analyst that studied this photograph and came up with something that made the most sense to me. One, he looked at it frame by frame and was asking a lot of questions with regard to the sequence of the photo of the pictures before and after the angel. And a couple things that really stood out that he explained to me were, one, the image itself is very hard to debunk. No one's yet been able to debunk it on the scientific skeptic side. And he said that the image itself is phenomenal. Two, the picture prior to this image is a picture of my wife underneath a dock with a piling that she's leaning on. And the one right after the angel is another picture of her leaning on the piling next to a hollowed-out canoe. And this image is completely out of sequence.
Mm.
And also he noticed, I think it's two shots after the angel image, there's a dark bar, a vertical bar on the edge of the frame, which he suggested that the film was slightly moving while the shutter became open. Typically, the film will roll to the next frame, the shutter will open real fast, and that will be the image on that frame. But he seems to think that it's possible that that frame, or two or three frames, where the film was actually slightly moving, just a little bit while the shutter opened, which may explain how this was captured. And I'm not sure about mm-hmm. that. I want to get into that a little more.
Well, let me ask you this. What do you think this, what is your feeling, you and Linda, what are your feelings regarding the fact that this has appeared to you? Because my personal impression when I saw this was that this is a messenger for you. And you, in turn, are hopefully going to bring this out to the world. I'll tell you, I'll do everything I can to help you get the message out. But the fact that a spirit entity or an angelic presence enters in between those frames, out of sequence, as you said, and the image is looking so directly at you, I would like to know what your feelings are about the meaning and the significance of this appearance.
Well, that's an excellent question, Pat, and that's something we've been battling with ever since the first day we laid eyes on it. Why us? We are very typical Americans. We live in a small town in southern Oregon, live a quiet, peaceful life. Nothing, you know, we're not superstars and we're not out on the streets pushing a cart either. We're just typical middle-class Americans, very stereotypical. Why did it show up on our roll of film?
Well,
the best
avoiding a
that,
religious explanation, let's talk about your own spiritual training or your own view, apart from the considering yourself stereotypic, which I certainly don't, and I don't even know what that would be. Why do you believe, or what is your spiritual training or process that might have created the field for this to occur to you?
I think Linda and I, when we first moved here to Southern Oregon from the Bay Area, my little brother lived here, who was an associate pastor at a local Christian church. We attended this church for about 2 years, and this was in, I think, 2001 is when we began going there. And we just started to learn about the Bible and Christianity, and in turn we started learning about other religions. And ultimately, we both felt that, you know, this particular religious organization is trapping God in their box, and and there's so many different religions around the world, we felt that God shined over all of them, and we didn't feel like joining a group of people that believed in just their way. So before we even went down to Mexico on this vacation, we had opened up our minds and eliminated any individual religion from our lives, and we were just God's children with nothing in between us. And when you look up at a star at night, there's nothing in between us and that star, and that's kind of the way we felt with God. And I think by opening up like that, I think a higher power or God realized this and saw our earth and the turmoil it was in and sent us a message that we could share with the world to help convince everybody that we all need to be more open towards the ultimate power and not to be trapped in and have these big religious wars and destroy our planet.
If you look indeed, if you look at the wars that are going on this planet, most of them are religious based, or at least that's the cover-up excuse for what's really going on. And certainly getting beyond the religious, the borders of any doctrine. It's not just religious doctrine, any doctrine that has you thinking inside the box is part of what our evolution, it is our evolution, not a part. Learning how to be in direct contact with that higher experience. And certainly all the religions of the world, current and historic, have had angelic beings.
Yes.
So I'd like to just go back to one thing you said earlier, and then I'm going to invite people to call in with questions. You said that this happened in 2005.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Uh-huh.
And so why did you wait this long to bring it out? Because it's such a powerful, it's just such a powerful image. It really took me aback, and I've seen quite a lot of things in my lifetime here, but I don't know how you managed to keep from jumping for joy, for starters, and sharing it with everyone you knew.
Well, those first 2 years, you know, at first we showed it to every friend and every neighbor, and every time we took a trip anywhere, we would take it with us to show it to, you know, our close people. And I guess we were being a little overly possessive with it because we knew that it was extremely rare and very profound and had a message. And we felt like jumping up for joy, but we were just being a little possessive because perhaps we thought that it would get in the wrong hands and there would be copyright infringements and whatnot. And we battled that with that for so long, and we finally decided to make a website because we ultimately decided that this needs to be shared with the world. Why did it take 2 years? I don't know. We just really battled with it, and we're just so relieved now that it's out there that everybody can look at it and just decide on their own what they think it is. I don't exactly know why it took us so long to get it out there. I guess we really didn't know how, and we were a bit reluctant just because we didn't know where it would lead us. So we're just kind of letting it steer us now, and I think it worked out for the best to think about it for 2 years and just to finally ultimately decide that we're going to let it steer us. So that's what's happening now, and I think that's probably why we're talking right now.
Yeah, well, I think we're also fellow warriors in a sense, because when you put yourself in a position to bring out information that doesn't fit in the established way of perception, perceiving things, you really have to have a lot of courage to do that, knowing that it can actually change your private life. So I celebrate you for doing that, and I want to remind everyone that this amazing photo can be seen on www.angelonthewater.com. So I'd like to open up to our listeners. If you have any questions for Ron and Linda or for me, you can call 1-888-228 1-888-228-4494 in the U.S. That's 1-888-228-4494. Sauron, let's talk about the fact that this question of the veils between the dimensions lifting. Have you had any other experience besides this?
I've spoken to a couple people, and like I said, I'm not really into readings and hypnotherapy and whatnot, but I have had a couple sit-down sessions with a couple people that I'm not quite sure if I was taken to another place or not, but I'm just so new and so just really green at this whole arena of supernatural powers and being regressed and hypnotized and all this. Although since we started studying on this angel, I have become more receptive. And
I would imagine so. You certainly don't sound green from talking to you. There's no question that even people who are not tuned in, let's say, are now beginning to talk about how time is slipping away and mutating, and there's most definitely a new level of consciousness regarding the nature of our reality. I find it very interesting that more and more people are picking up images on their photos. We see pictures with orbs and little sprites, all kinds of things showing up in images that I've seen with my groups as well. But again, yours is just the angelic presence there is just, it's perfect.
Yeah.
It's just perfect.
It's what's curious about it is people always ask, what did you see? And, well, the answer is we didn't see anything. Every other picture on that roll of film had a definite subject. It was either of Linda taking a picture of me or myself taking a picture of Linda. And then the last three images on the roll of film were not used. So when we got home, we took three pictures of our dog just to use up the rest of it. And so after we launched the picture, it got out in the public and a lot of forums were created online. And I partook in a couple of these forums, and it's incredible how many skeptics are out there. And the first thing they say is, oh, Photoshop, Photoshop. And to try to defend that, I got nowhere. So we're just stepping away from that and speaking with people like you, and I think that's the healthiest thing for us to do right now.
I think so, too. Do we have a caller?
Hello.
But I heard a call. Hello?
Hello.
Yes, can we, you've got a question for me or for Ron?
Yeah, it's a fantastic photo.
I agree. What's your name?
My name is Laura.
Hi, Laura.
Hi. It's just so alive. There's so much in it.
Do you have a question?
Well, the question is for me, it's seeing different things in it and sort of turning it around and having a look, but it's just so amazing to have this captured on 35mm. I'm just, you know, you must have just been, I've been listening to the show, you just must have been so amazed when you'd seen this.
We were,
Ron, that's for you, I think.
We were looking at it on our computer because when we picked up our film, we also received a CD. So we came home and had quite a interesting day. And we decided, well, let's forget about the day and look at our vacation pictures. And so we're clicking through those and all of a sudden this image shows up and I look at Linda and, Linda, what are you looking at? And she goes, I don't know. What is that? Wow, it kind of looks like an egg. Wow, that is cool.
Very cool.
And I look at it every day and get the same reaction. The way it,
I have a question for you, Ron. Laura, are you still with us?
Yeah.
Ron, is this picture I doubt that you're commercializing this because I sense your integrity about what you're doing. But is this, besides being able to see the picture on your site, can people get copies of this photo?
Well, yeah, we put it out there in a JPEG image. If you go in there, you can, you know, you can right-click it and save it and,
cool.
and print a fairly nice copy if you have a color printer. Mm-hmm. However, we do have a print shop that took the negative and did, they do real nice what's called Jaclé edition prints, where it's Epson 10,000 archival print paper and fancy inks that I guess has a duration period of 145 years. I mean, who's going to need
that? That'll work.
But anyways, yeah, we are not, our intention is to not commercialize these. We first started out, that was our intention with the website, and then we decided to pull away from that because we just felt that our main motivation was to share it with the world and not to get any negative feedback from people that thought that we were trying to take an advantage of an incredible image. Although we do, people have needs, you know, artists and photographers that understand the quality of a good print. And I want to tell you something, to get a print right straight off the negative, the detail is fantastic. It's just absolutely...
Yeah, I really am grateful that you said you'd be sending one of those, and I can't wait to see that. And if I'll have your permission, I will put it up on my site.
Oh, yes. That would be fine with me.
Let me just ask Laura. Are you still there with us, Laura?
Yes, I am, Patricia.
How did you come across this image?
Well, it was the on the web when you said Angel on the Water, so I went on the website.
Uh-huh.
And... I was actually just sitting here with my children, and my children just said, "It's an angel," and they hadn't. My son was just like, "I need a picture of this so all my friends believe in angels," which was really cool.
Well, just spread the word, Laura, because this is, as far as I can see, one of the most incredible moments of interdimensional photography. If we can, maybe you'll start a whole new category: interdimensional photography.
That sounds good to me.
Thank you, Laura. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Bye now.
Laura.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
So how do you perceive getting this photo, how it can help? I love the idea that the active children are such clear slates. What kinds of ideas do you have of how to work with this photo? Because definitely you've been given a gift, and you're sharing this gift with the world. How can you make this a bigger situation than just trying to have people look into your site?
Well, I think people will react the same way Linda and I when we first laid eyes on it. It's like I said, prior to that, I was a bit skeptical on supernatural. But once you see it, it gets you curious. And it gets you interested in studying about spirits and angels and orbs and ghosts and whatnot. And I think it will definitely lead itself. But, you know, it was given to us, and it did show up on our roll of film. So, therefore, we are going to do what we can to help get it out there. Obviously, you know, we got the website started and how to get it. I think it's just going to be exponential, where one person will tell two people, and they'll tell four people, and eight, and so on. And I think it will eventually take off.
Well, then, and the fact that there are other people that have these kinds of images coming up now, so surely it will be a good idea to start connecting with them and create interest from many, many sides of people that are actually being able to capture the images, because a lot of people there are a lot of clairvoyants who are seeing these things, but more and more people now are starting to capture them on their cameras. And it's particularly exciting that yours was 35 millimeter, because surely the digital cameras are easier to, let's say, play with. Would you agree?
Yeah. I agree. They are much more easier to manipulate, and But
and I do see so many things appearing, I often wonder if there's something about the digital technology that is capturing refracted light or whatever. Of course, that would be one heck of a refraction if it could bring through such a perfected form as you've got on that wonderful image.
That's true. And, you know, if you look back in time, Pat, photography isn't really that old. You know, I think, I don't know, when was the first picture taken? In the 1800s, maybe, less than 200, 300 years ago at the
yeah.
most. I don't know. And throughout time, you know, I think they've always been there, the spirits and the ghosts and the orbs, they've always been there. We're just coming into an age now, technology-wise, where the gift of photography will, in fact, start to capture more and more just of these images, and also as people's minds open up as well. I don't think this would show up on anybody's camera that was really stuck on a religion or really against spirits and angels or completely atheist. I don't think that they would ever.
Okay, so you're saying that receptivity on your part is part of the process.
I believe so. I'm pretty convinced.
I believe so too, and I'm a channel, so I can say that there has to be, in order for this transcommunication of information or images, there has to be attunement to the vibration.
And they, images always been there, because if you read back in all the old books and the Bible and any tablets or ancient writings from way, way back, people always mention spirits and they see angels and they have wings and there's thousands and thousands of stories, and all these stories can't be made up. They're there. And fortunately, we live in a day and age where, thanks to our photography and our advancements in this kind of work, we can really start to see what's really happening out there. And I think it's going to convince a lot of people, rather than just to read a story in an ancient book, but to actually see an image that has skin tone, that's shaped like an angel or a spirit. I think that's going to help convince a lot of people.
Well, of course, it's going to depend on their receptivity, as you just said. But more and more people are waking up now. It's a very exciting time on this planet.
Absolutely.
And it's interesting that this took place in Mexico, which I view as a very highly charged environment where a lot of prophecy is coming to pass, where the Mayan prophecy speaks of 2012 and the time, the end of time, which has been interpreted by the, let's say, negative thinkers as the Armageddon scenario, but which I see as the beginning of our passage into the next dimension where there is no time.
Right.
So it's interesting to think, if there were no time, what would appear in your field of vision? Kind of a little bit of a philosophical question. Imagine no time, suddenly things that we perceived as happening in the past would be right in our face, right?
Right.
You with me?
Yeah, I think I am.
Let's say, for example, if we move out of 3D, which is constructed on a false sense of time, and move into a next dimension where there is no time, would that not mean that we would see everything as it was, as it is, and as it will be in the same moment?
Absolutely. And in that particular place that we were swimming that day, we felt that we were truly in a magnificent place. You could just feel the spirit and just a lot of energy around us, where you can just tell that there had been a lot of history around that cenote. You know, had I been out in the middle of the Mojave Desert, you know, I don't think I would have had those feelings. But here we are in the middle of a lush jungle with completely pure, clear, green water and with a lot of Mayan history. And we definitely sensed that. And studying the site, after we saw the picture, I just recently found out that there was a very tragic accident where a boy died there, I think, 3 years to the day that that angel photograph was captured, a boy...
Right there in the cenote?
Died. Excuse me?
Oh. Right in
and
the cenote
also,
where you were?
Yeah.
Oh. And
also, when we were there, it was in April 2005, we got home, and I think within a week or two, there was a Category 5 hurricane that swept through Cancun and just really demolished a lot of that area that we were in. And perhaps that was a warning. The spirit showed up, and maybe, you know, like you said, if there's no time, maybe there was a warning of some kind there.
Or maybe... The message might well have been that there's nothing to worry about. These changes are part of our ever-changing world, and that angelic presence there was on reflection. Don't worry, you are always guided, you are always in divine light. Okay, we had a little glitch of the matrix there, and we're back beyond the matrix with Ron and Linda Martinez. You there with me, Ron, this time?
I am indeed, back from beyond the matrix.
Okay, back from... Okay, well, these little glitches are always interesting, you know?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure where I left off.
Now, let's see, let's reconstruct what we were talking about when we got the matrix glitch, which I think I will turn into a brand name. You were saying that... It was a perfect environment for such a thing to occur, and it would never happen on the Mojave Desert. But I wanted to just, I imagine people might take objection to that concept and suggest that why wouldn't it happen at the Mojave?
Well, I think just based on sheer numbers of where people used to live and cohabitat, you know, I don't think there were many ancient civilizations in the middle of the Mojave Desert. Whereas here at the cenote in this little village in Cancun where centuries and centuries of people hung together and lived and survived together, I think that's where I was coming from on that.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring that to you because it is sacred land from the indigenous peoples, and no doubt there, too, are all kinds of phenomena that are starting to manifest for anyone who is ready to receive it.
I agree. In fact, we were just down in Sedona last winter, and that's in the middle of the Mojave Desert. And there's certainly a lot of ancient Indian spirit down there that we could feel as well.
Yeah, and then, of course, I like to always go on to the interdimensional or extraterrestrial vein. I'm just back from the crop circles. I brought a group there, and I was speaking at the symposium. And these are other sacred spaces. These are very, there's something like the Tibetan wheel, you know, the colored sands of the wheel. They appear and then they go. And in being there, they create the most sacred space. Have you been in one yet?
I have not.
Well, you're going to have to come over next year.
I would love to.
With your camera.
Yeah. In fact, I think Linda and I need to start taking more pictures.
I think so.
If we were given this gift once, maybe it will happen again.
I'm sure it will because it's too powerful what you've brought through. In the crop circles, it's often a phenomenon that the cameras stop working. The energy is so unbelievable. And people do find that the cameras shut down for a while because there's a lot of electromagnetic distortion in these spaces. I'll be talking about crop circles next week, in fact, so I hope you'll listen into that.
I will, for sure. Some of those soft crop circles, I was looking into them a little more, are more than just a circle. They're these big, brilliant, articulate, complicated designs as well that I don't...
Well,
I don't,
you know, think. If you know anything about my story, that's where I had a huge breakthrough because I dreamt about the crop circle at Stonehenge in 1996, having had no awareness or understanding of them. And I was in England at the time, so I was facilitated to go and visit this one. It was called the Julia Set. It was a real transformation in the crop circle phenomenon because of its complexity and beauty.
Yeah.
And when I got in there, I lost consciousness for an hour and a half.
Wow.
And 2 weeks later, I started receiving the messages from these beings who call themselves the Syrian High Council. And that's how I've taken off on this in this direction. So they are also, what I'm suggesting here is, obviously the sacred sites, the established power points on the planet, are places for quite powerful encounters, but also in the unexpected, such as crop circles, people are seeing light beings and orbs and flashes of light, all kinds of phenomena. I think this is what I'm trying to get at here, is that the veils are most definitely coming down, and it's very exciting as we transit into a higher frequency.
Well, I agree. I'm just forever asking, what's it all about? You know, I think this incredible image that we have, the crop circles, photographs of orbs and spirits. Yeah, they're there. They're definitely there, and nobody can completely explain them.
Well, I think what it's about is that we are moving out of our limitations of perception and experience in 3D and becoming multidimensional people, multidimensional beings. And some people laugh at me when I say that, and they say, God, Patricia, with the state of the world, where do you come off on making this kind of observation? And my answer is that there's a lot of deception in what is being portrayed to us as the global situation.
Right.
Because as much as there's darkness, there's so much light, like this experience that you've had.
If these extraterrestrials or supernatural beings or the creators of these crop circles or the supernatural power that put this image on our roll of film, if they're this advanced, why do they just keep giving us these little hints? Why don't they just write us a letter or come down and talk to us and appear in person?
Well, if you think your picture's getting debunked, imagine a letter from an ET.
Yeah, huh?
I do believe, I go into this quite a lot in the books, but I do believe that we're being shown the universal language, which is geometry, or as they call it, cosmometry, and mathematics, which in the end is the ultimate expression of divinity. Everything that exists is based on some combination of quantity, of number, of form.
Yeah.
And they send down images that I consider exquisite expressions of a higher consciousness.
Right. And I guess it's just, we try to complicate it so much, I think. It's just so beautifully simple.
Right. And isn't that the truth? It's just keep it simple and stay out of fear and allow yourself to experience, to trust, to receive. It's a lot harder than it sounds.
The Syrian seal is, I found, quite interesting. And that day that I was looking at your website and reading about the Syrian seal and how it's shaped like a shell, and everything that grows and everything that's living kind of has that similar feature. Well, that day I sent my wife an email. I said, "Good morning, sweetie pie," and I put, instead of pie, I put 22/7, you know, which is the or 3.14, which is the mathematic equations for pi, you know, 3.14 goes out for infinity. And
uh-huh.
that's a transcendental mathematics situation. And that's,
and you say you're just regular stereotypic kinds of guys. Well, there's been a new crop circle that's come down, and it's got tetrahedrons in it like the Syrian seal, and it came down just after I left there, which I thought was really entertaining. You can see that on the website, which is cropcircleconnector.com. You can see all the new crop circles there in Wiltshire predominantly. And I'm hoping that, you tune in next week when we talk about the crop circles. We'll have an expert talking about what's coming on in the field.
Okay.
Ron, it looks like our time is starting to run out here.
Okay.
I want to repeat the name of your site one more time. It's www.angelonthewater.com. You've talked to Ron. Linda's in the background, I know. She hasn't gotten a word in edgewise, but these are two wonderful people. They're there for you. Be sure to take a look at this magnificent demonstration of interdimensional photography.
And if
thanks a lot, Ron. Yes?
If anybody would like a print right off the negative, just we've got our email address and our phone number on our website there. Just give us a shout, and we can arrange that for you.
Okay, and I'm going to put it on my site, too, so people can see it. And I'd like to have you back on so we can talk about once I get that firsthand photo in my delighted hands and I can explore the background and see what other images are there, buried in there. Because I still see little faces and things peeking out from the scenery, the background.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in there. And,
yeah, there's a lot of Vedic energy there. It's beautiful. Thank you so much, Ron, and my love to you and to Linda for having shared this and having the courage to be in your truth and overcome any fear of skepticism or doubters so that you can help people get to this information.
Well, thank you so
all
much.
All right.
Thank you so much, Ron.
I'll have you back on for sure.
We look forward to that.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, be sure to join me next week when we'll be talking about the crop circles. As I just said, we've got some amazing things to share with you. And for more information, please don't forget to visit my website, www.SyrianRevelations.net. You'll find out more about the Syrian Revelations and my Soul Quest Journeys programs to sacred sites, just as Ron and Linda have enjoyed. That's it. Remember to keep your mind free, out of the box of convention, and beyond the matrix. Thank you for listening. Good night, everybody.